John's Gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, full of grace and truth. It's the ultimate act of graciousness, the Word with us, full of grace, his light shining on us. So thinking of grace this morning from the Aaronic Prayer, what comes to mind when you hear the word grace or gracious? It's not used much in our common parlance today, is it? You might think of the Queen being a gracious lady. You might see a Spitfire, an old World War II Spitfire flying in the sky and think, what a graceful machine it is in flight. And we can think of the Queen's graciousness and we can forget that she carries the full power as monarch. Similarly, we can think of God's grace as gentleness, which it is, yet too, it has a power to transform us, doesn't it? The power to change the course of humankind from darkness to light, as Jenny has been reading to us from John's Gospel. The true light coming into the world and the darkness unable to overcome it. And that's a fact once for all time. So let's look a little more at God's gracious nature and the meaning it has for us today. So Paul writes about the reality of our situation in Galatians 3 and says, cursed is everyone who does not do everything written in the law. Now that's everything. Not most things, nearly everything. It's not, as I might look at it, everything except that tiny wrong thought I had about coveting my neighbor's nice new car, or that wonderful Rolex watch my colleague was wearing this week as we were traveling together. But no exceptions, however small, absolutely everything. But then Paul goes on to say, but Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? Well, we know he became the curse for us. Anyone who hung on a tree was considered abandoned and cursed by God. And God came in Christ, as we remember this season, to take on himself that curse of disobedience. What should rightly have been our punishment became his punishment. So there is deliverance. There's rescue. It's great news. But why would he want to do this? Why would he want to redeem us from the law? And Paul goes on in Galatians 3 verse 13 to explain, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. The what? The blessing. Oh, I can accept the blessings for everyone else, but not for me, surely. But it is. It's for everyone. It's for you and you and you and me. No one is excluded. And what is that blessing? It's the blessing of God's grace, his graciousness to us, as we said, Emmanuel, as we heard written this morning, Emmanuel, God with us. So one of the reasons why Paul was writing to the Galatians was that they were slipping back to outward observances that he'd preached that to them, but as a community they were slipping back to lose focus on the graciousness of God. They were looking at doing things by outward observances, by outward show. And I don't know about you, but I can often think, well, I get up in the morning, and if I do my Bible in the year, it's going to be a great day. Or if I don't do my Bible in the year reading, it's not going to be such a good day. But we know that that's nonsense. But how easy we can get trapped into a legalistic path. And we can't earn God's blessing by legalism or by rote, can we? We know that, but how often, how easily we slip into it. On a recent flight from Bucharest, I was visiting a colleague. The stewardess offered to take my jacket from me. I was about to put it in the overhead locker, and she said, no, I'll take it and hang it in the cupboard for you. And I said, no, I'm quite happy to just hang it on the seat in front of me if that's easy. She said, no, I'll hang it for you in the cupboard. I didn't ask for that, and I received, when I landed, a crease-free jacket. So I received the blessing of her gracious attitude towards me. I didn't deserve it. She just did it. And it's all very well, isn't it, to say, well, just receive it. There's nothing else to do. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't make grace. But surely I can do something. There must be something I can do. Well, the one thing we can do is not to make it difficult for us to receive it. And what I suggest we can do, one of the most practical things, is take out a subscription. And the good news, this one is free. And it's a subscription to a new daily, and it's called the Daily Exchange. And when we see grace as a gift, it changes our perspective, and a strange sensation emerges called joy. And daily, God welcomes us into his presence to clothe us with his righteousness, not to live by our own strength. So the Daily Exchange, deciding day to day to live clothed in God's righteousness, not in our strength, to live in his strength. It's a better deal than free coffee at Cogs Manor Farm after the service, isn't it, after all? So what's in the Daily Exchange? Well, I just want to highlight a couple of articles for you. The first is by a columnist called Martin Luther. You may have heard of him. And he writes this: God, too, shows himself to us through the gospel as holy, lovable, and kind, receiving all, rejecting none, ignoring our shortcomings, repelling no soul by severity. The gospel proclaims naught but grace, whereby God sustains us and through which he kindly leads us, regardless of our worthiness. This is the day of grace. And we read in Psalm 34, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. That is, God will not permit us to ask in vain or come unto him and go away empty and ashamed. And also, another article in today's Daily Exchange is from a former Oxford correspondent. You may know him, a guy called John Wesley. And he writes, how freely does God love the world? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were dead in our sin, God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And how freely with him does he give us all things. Verily, free grace is all in all. The grace or love of God, whence cometh our salvation, is free in all and free for all. It is free in all to whom it's given. It doesn't depend on any power or merit in man. No, not in any degree, in whole or part. It doesn't anyways depend either on the good works or righteousness of the receiver, not on anything he's done or anything he is. It does not depend on his endeavors. It does not depend on his good tempers, to which some of us may say, that's great, or good desires or good purposes or good intentions. For all these flow from the free grace of God. They are streams only, not the fountain. They are fruits of the of free grace and not the root. They are not the cause, but the effects of it. Whatsoever good is in man or is done by man, God is the author and doer of it. Thus is his grace free in all. That is, no way depending on any power or merit in man, but on God alone, who freely gives us his own son, and with him freely gives us all things. So, what Luther and Wesley are saying is grace is free, and it's God who's the giver, not us. We can't give it to ourselves. God bestows it on us. And the final article I want to read from the Daily Exchange is a testimony from David Watson. Many of you will remember David Watson and the impact he had on so many around the world. And the first time he prayed and asked the Lord for the gift of the Holy Spirit, he was alone in his room, and he prayed. He felt absolutely nothing. And then, in his disappointment and frustration, he remembered Elizabeth, that's John's mother's words, blessed is she who has received that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her. And he reflected on how Elizabeth and Mary both trusted while they waited for the birth of their sons, John and Jesus. And from that point, he began to think and thank God for the certain fulfillment of the promise that God had given him to give the Holy Spirit to all who ask. It's rather like the story of the little girl who, on her birthday, before she opened each present, would ask an adult by her who had given that particular present to her. And before she would unwrap the present, she would go and thank the individual who'd given the gift to her. She trusted the giver to give something good. And the same way David Watson trusted in that promise from the Lord. And from that point, as we know, the Lord used David in so many ways to touch many thousands of lives through the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. So do you think we could make David Watson's prayer an attitude today? Sometimes we can wonder, can't we? Has the Lord really filled me with his Spirit? Do I have, if I pray, as Simon was just been sharing about being in Lebanon, just to pray and see the presence of God come, to see the Holy Spirit come. The third verse of the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, reads this: Oh, to grace, how great a debtor I'm daily I am constrained to be. Let your goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. So let's remember today and stand. Can we just stand together and pray? And maybe we can just open our hands to ask the Lord that we would receive again that grace, that graciousness from him. That as we just open our hearts, open our hands to him, he would fill us afresh with the power, the anointing of his Holy Spirit in this Advent season. That we would know Emmanuel, God with us. And Father, as we come to you, we pray that you would use us, even this Advent season, Lord, to touch through your Holy Spirit flowing through us, to touch those around us in our communities, our workplaces. Father, we want to be open vessels for you. And Lord, though we may not feel, Lord, may we know the certainty of your grace upon us, your Holy Spirit's empowering in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Fill us afresh. Thank you for your grace that is free. Lord, we don't deserve it, but we thank you for the abundance, the richness, the beauty of that grace. Lord, may we experience it today. Afresh, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.